Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We are so glad to have you with us today. Hope things are going well wherever you might be today. A lot going on. And we're also getting ready to pack our bags for the big Trump rally, which is coming up Saturday. We'll be heading over to Georgia tomorrow after the show. Hope to see you there. As a matter of fact, our good friend, former Senator David Perdue, is going to join us a little bit later on in the program. Also, Governor Scott Walker is going to be here. We have a crazy story about Vice President Mike Pence and the University of Virginia, and the university students are demanding that Mike Pence be banned from campus. So we're going to tell you all about that in just a little while. We'll be talking to the governor. Matt Staver is here. Navy SEALs under attack. Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel. And he has an update to a big story there. We've also got an update to that Home Depot story. Crazy story we told you about yesterday. We'll get to that as well. Folks, I just on this program, we operate in facts and reality. And the reality is that Ketanji Brown Jackson is going to be confirmed, unless you have Kyrsten Sinema or Joe Manchin decide they've got concerns about the nominee. But I don't think that's going to happen. So the reality here is that she is going to be the next Supreme Court justice. But there are some very, very troubling things that you need to know about. And you need to be aware of, because this is an individual who has some very radical ideas about America. This is not an RBG Supreme Court justice, a liberal RBG. This is a radical AOC. So just imagine if AOC was wearing a robe, a judicial robe, not the terry cloth robe, but a judicial robe. AOC would be KBJ. That's who she is. Radical policies. Now, you may have been, and we've talked about this a lot here on this program. You may have heard about the leniency she has given to child predators, to child pornographers. It is incredibly disturbing. And we have some new information to share with you, and this is coming from our good friend Mike Davis over at the Article 3 Project. And we had Mike on the show a couple of days ago. Great guy. So here's what we now know. Now, the mainstream media is telling you, oh, this is all not true. But it is true, because we actually have the written records. We know what she wrote going all the way back to Harvard Law School. When Ketanji Brown Jackson was a student at Harvard Law School, she published an argument. Now, get this. Brace yourself. If you are driving on the interstate, you just might want to ease up on the gas here. During her time at Harvard Law School, she wrote an argument that sex offender registries were unconstitutionally punitive. In other words, and many of you live in a neighborhood, and if you have small children or older children, you probably have done a search, and you can go online and you can search, type in your address, and it'll pop up how many convicted child sex offenders live in your neighborhood. Now, if I happen to be a parent, or quite frankly, a God-fearing American citizen, I would want to know if the person living next door to me was a child predator and a convicted sex offender. What about you, ladies and gentlemen? Wouldn't you like to know if there is a very bad person living close to your home and your family? I can't imagine anybody who would have a problem with that except for Judge Jackson. And Judge Jackson, writing in the Harvard Review, says that these sorts of registries, making a convicted child predator sign up so we know where that person is and we can track that person down, that is unconstitutional. We also know now that during her time as the vice chair of the U.S. Sentencing Commission, Judge Jackson actually advocated for lighter sentences for people convicted of possessing and distributing child porn. Now, the argument there from the left is, well, Todd, that's because the internet changed things. This is not about like magazines where you could have hundreds and hundreds of photos. This is online. Okay, well, the person involved in this particular case had 800 or more images of children engaged in horrible, horrible behavior. And the judge said that that individual needed a lesser sentence. So clearly, the Supreme Court nominee has a soft spot for child predators. I'd like to know why. Now, we warned you. As soon as we knew who the nominee was going to be, I warned you on this program that anyone who dared to raise an issue would be labeled a racist, especially if they happen to be a white guy. But it's actually worse because now they're just telling us that anybody who is white, male or female, who has a problem with Judge Jackson is in fact a racist. And This is the narrative coming out of the left and the mainstream media, which is, well, the left. During her 8 years as a federal judge, she used her discretion in 7 out of 7. So again, this is not some sort of a random occurrence here. We're getting some insight into her thinking. During her time on the federal bench, she used her discretion in 7 of 7 child porn cases to render a punishment that was below the recommended sentences, from not just what the law said, but from what federal prosecutors were asking for. And I'll just give you a hypothetical here, right? This is not an actual case, but this is a hypothetical. So let's say the prosecutors were going for 25 years. Judge Brown or Jackson would come in and say, well, you know what? We're just going to give this person 10 years or maybe even 5. So something's not right here, and I'm curious to know, and I don't know about you, but I'm curious to know, why is it that this woman is soft on child predators? What is it about her background that she is sympathetic to people that are doing horrible things to children in this country? This is not some sort of conjecture. This is not hyperbole. These are just the cases that are laid out before us. This is her record. Now, she also, and we had Harmeet Dhillon on the program earlier this week, there's also a lot of concern because Judge Jackson was actually representing these Muslim terrorists that were actually being held in Gitmo. Harmeet Dhillon said, don't have a problem with that. Harmeet Dhillon is a conservative. She said, I don't have a problem with this because every person in America, no matter how heinous the crime, under our law, our system of government, under our judicial system, they demand and deserve the best possible representation they can get. Okay, I get that. But we're talking about Muslim terrorists. And we're also talking about something else. This is not something she was forced to do. It's not like she was told by the judge, you have to represent this Muslim terrorist. She wanted to do it, and she did it in the private sector. She volunteered to represent Muslim terrorists free of charge, pro bono, free of charge, not a single penny. And I appreciate Senator Tom Cotton from across the river in Arkansas, because Senator Cotton asked this question of the judge. He said, well, okay, let me ask you a question here. Have you ever represented, fine, we get it, you've represented the Muslim terrorist and you've defended them. Have you ever actually gone and represented the victim of a terrorist attack? Do we have the audio? Let's take a listen.
Okay, so you've done pro bono work for on behalf of detainees at Guantanamo Bay. Have you ever done pro bono work for the victims of terrorism?
Senator, I'm not aware of any such cases in my law firm. I was in a group of lawyers that was often approached to ask, would you file a brief for some group? And I'm not aware that any victims of terrorism asked our firm to participate.
In other words, no, she has not. So Judge Jackson is on the record saying that, yes, she has defended free of charge Muslim terrorists, but she is not represented the victims of the terrorist. What does that tell you about Judge Jackson? What does it tell you about Judge Jackson that she is soft on child sex predators? What does it tell you about a woman who cannot even tell you what a woman is? What does it tell you about a woman who is soft on convicted drug criminals? What does that tell you about Judge Jackson? Well, it tells me she's soft on crime. It tells me that she has taken a side against the rule of law in America. That's what that tells me. So look, it gets even worse, and we're going to play some more audio coming up after the break. We're going to open up the phone lines here. But the reality here is there is enough evidence that warrants a step back from this nominee. That is not going to happen, but it should. It also tells me something else, that the Biden administration, they did not vet this nominee. The only thing they looked at, and folks, hear me on this, the only thing they looked at was the color of her skin and her gender. That's it. Period. They did not vet her. And if they had have vetted this woman, I don't think they would have put her out as the nominee. I think her record is that dangerous for the country. Now, before we go to break here, hear me. Let me explain why she refuses to answer a very simple question. That God designed men and God designed women. Women are biologically, from an anatomy standpoint, very different from men and vice versa. And the judge could have explained that. The judge said that she was a woman, but she could not identify what that meant. She could not explain or define what that word meant. That's a very dangerous answer. And here's the reason why. In a very short while, that issue, the transgender issue, is going to make it to the Supreme Court. She will have to decide on this issue. She will have to decide under United States law, under the United States Constitution, is it constitutional for a man to identify as a woman? And if that is true, then every single case that Ruth Bader Ginsburg argued in her entire career is for naught. Title IX, get rid of it. Because at that point, a man can identify as a woman. And that's what Senator Ted Cruz was trying to, he was asking that point. He was trying to get around to that point in his questioning. And all of these Republicans are ridiculing, or being ridiculed by the mainstream media. But they raise a valid point, because sooner or later, this will end up in the Supreme Court. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Our world has certainly changed. Everything is online today. With all the convenience the internet has to offer, our world is more electronic than ever. You may have security systems in place for real life, but what about your online life? Identity Guard can sound the alarm if your digital presence is at risk. Here's a scary stat. Every 7 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or identity theft. 23% of those people never get their money back. And if you think it could never happen to you, think again. Identity Guard can help. They provide advanced monitoring to keep your online accounts, finances, and personal information safe. If a threat is found, you'll get alerted fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. For a limited time, Identity Guard is offering our listeners a 30-day free trial when you visit identityguard.com/Todd. Go to identitycard.com/Todd to get complete protection, huge savings, and a 30-day free trial. Certain terms apply. See site for details. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us. 844-747-8868. You know, Tucker Carlson last night did a terrific job of showing the absurdity of Judge Jackson not knowing how to define a woman. I mean, and he said she could have just turned this right around on Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee, who asked the question and said, what a ludicrous question. A woman is somebody who is the opposite of a man. A woman is someone who is capable of bearing children, producing eggs. This is what a woman is. That women are designed differently from men by Almighty God. She could have thrown it right back in the face of Senator Blackburn, but she didn't. Let me say this. Do you really want on the Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, somebody who cannot tell the difference between a man and a woman? Because that's exactly what she did the other day. Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Jerry in Milwaukee. It's been a while, Jerry.
Hey, I got to say, I really disagree with you. Even more than usual. We, under our system, talking about the rule of law, under the rule of law, people have the right to a strong legal defense because the burden of proof is, as it should be, on the government. On the government. The government has awesome powers. The government has a lot of powers versus any other person that they are trying. So you need someone to make the government show their burden of proof, to prove someone is guilty of an alleged crime. We don't just assume someone is guilty of an alleged crime. We just don't say, well, they're a terrorist or they're something like that. No, we make them prove it in a court of law beyond a reasonable doubt. That is what Judge Jackson was doing. That's what a strong defense lawyer is.
But Jerry, that's not what she was doing. No, it's one thing to be assigned the case. It's another to go out there and seek out those cases pro bono. But at the same time, and again, this is a fair assessment here, and I think Senator Tom Cotton got it right. Okay, fine, you're defending the terrorist. Have you ever represented a victim of terrorism?
But the question doesn't make sense because she's a defense lawyer, particularly a defense lawyer. People who are a victim of a crime aren't being charged by the government. They're not being prosecuted by the government. So why would she be representing them when her job is to represent people who are charged by the government? The question, the very premise of the question doesn't make sense.
Jerry, the issue here is that she is soft on crime. I mean, this is the evidence that has been presented, and it's her own writings, her own words that have done this. I mean, they're not making this up. This is not conjecture. We can actually read what she wrote.
No, it's not soft on crime. It's making the government prove beyond a reasonable doubt that someone is guilty. We have way too many people who are wrongly convicted.
No, they have, Jerry. The issue here, Jerry, though, is once they have been found guilty, so the verdict has been rendered.
There are no innocent people found guilty. There are no innocent people who've been found guilty.
Well, I mean, if you've got child porn and you're found guilty, you're guilty in my book. Jerry, got to run. We're coming up on a break. You know, I understand where you're coming from, Jerry, but the idea that once you're found guilty, her job as the judge is to render the verdict, and she's soft on crime, and she also doesn't know the difference between a man and a woman. She's not the brightest bulb in the lamp. I'm telling you, I think they could have done better. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. And keep in mind, the only reason she is there, the only reason is not her record, it's her race and gender. We'll be right back. Friends, last year your dollar lost a ton of value. Inflation rose by almost 7% in just 1 month towards the end of the year. That means in 30 days, your dollar became 93 cents. Inflation is a silent killer. It's a hidden tax felt by everyone. And this administration is only making it worse. Inflation is not slowing down. It's escalating quickly. But gold provides a hedge against inflation and can protect your family's wealth. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You have to take the threat seriously, friends. Oil prices are rising. We have supply chain issues. All of this going to compound our inflation problems. You can trust Legacy Precious Metals because they give you unbiased counsel based on your personal situation. It's time to be proactive before you regret it and take steps now to protect yourself. Call Legacy Precious Metals. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals at 866-528-1903 or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com. All right, another big rally coming up Saturday in Georgia, Commerce, Georgia. Yours truly. Among the speakers, David Perdue is going to be there, Herschel Walker, of course, President Trump. Newsmax will be the only major news network covering the rally live, and that's why you need to make the switch over to Newsmax. They have had some of the best coverage on Ukraine. They've been exposing the dangers of Joe Biden. Millions of people are tuning in into Newsmax. By the way, President Trump watches. He's a big fan. By the way, this Saturday, the president says he's going to talk about the war in Ukraine. He has some new warnings to share with the nation. And you need to watch Newsmax and join the Newsmax Trump list to get all the latest intel and info. You can do that very simple. Text the word SKIP to 39747. That's SKIP to 39747. The president getting ready to make that big announcement, and you don't want to miss out on that, and that's why you need to join that list. Again, SKIP to 39747. So a very interesting story out of Georgia, Cherokee County, Georgia, to be exact, and there's been an ongoing battle over content in public school libraries. Now, look, I'm always of the opinion as a writer, and I have seven books out. I don't believe in censorship. I do believe, however, that moms and dads should have a decision on what their kids, their underage kids, have access to. And I do question why a public school library, which is meant for young people, would have softcore pornography, would have books promoting critical race theory, and all these other things. Why would they have books with those kinds of concepts in public school libraries? And in some cases, we found these books in elementary schools. So now you have moms and dads all over the country that have, they're not woke, they're awakened. And they're coming out of the woodwork and they're going into these public school libraries and they're finding all of this very inappropriate material. Now, let me say this. If you were to take some of these books, let's just say you're a grown adult, 18 years old, 19 years old, and you take one of these books and you're just walking down the street and you see a child, say a 10-year-old or an 11-year-old, and you give that child a copy of that book, the same book that is in the public school library, if you do that, you could be arrested and charged with a sex crime. So if that is the case, if it's illegal, if it's against the law for an average citizen to give a child a book with graphic, softcore pornography content, if that's illegal, why is it okay for a teacher to do the same thing in the public school classroom? Why, Saudi, explain to me the difference there. So you've got a mom, and there's a mom in Cherokee County, Georgia, and she went to the school board meeting. There she found a book, and by the way, this is not just about gay and lesbian sex, it's about heterosexual sex. Why do kids need to be reading about that? Seriously, why? What is the point? So you've got the Cherokee County School Board, and this mom decided to show up at the school board meeting. And she said, you know what, I'm just going to illustrate the point. She decided that she was going to read from the book that was in the library out loud at the school board meeting. Let's take a listen to see what happened. Okay, we don't have that audio, so I'll read it for you. The mom got up in front of the school board, and she started reading. And when she got to the really graphic parts of the book, the school board leaders interrupted and said, no, 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 you're not going to do that here. That's inappropriate. And the mom says, well, of course it's inappropriate. That's the whole point. All of this is inappropriate. The school board leaders told her to stop talking and to sit back down. The mom said, all of this happened under your watch. Maybe if you spent more time reading the books instead of calculating the statistical demographics of those submitting the books, you wouldn't be grooming our children. And that's exactly correct. This mom is right on the money. And I want to read out the names of the school board members because these are the people responsible. And I don't know where they stand, but these are the people that are responsible. Kelly Poole, Kyla Cromer, Pansy Jordan, Clark Menard, John Harmon, Mike Chapman, Robert Reichsteiner, and the superintendent, Brian Hightower. I'd like to know why these people are grooming our children. Why is that? You folks in Cherokee County, Georgia, ought to be going down to the school board meeting and demanding answers. Absolutely unacceptable what's happening in Cherokee County, Georgia. But not really all that surprising. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Oh, I've got an update on this Home Depot story. So yesterday, we told you about Home Depot in Canada. And they're causing all sorts of a stink because they were passing out these flyers in the break rooms telling all the white Christian employees that they had privilege. And we've got a copy of the actual flyer up on our website, toddstearns.com. You can see it for yourself. So anyway, we reached out to Home Depot. Lots of people reached out to Home Depot. And finally, Home Depot responded. And they said, well, this is really not some sort of an official thing, but we believe in tolerance and diversity. You know, that's the buzzword. When you see tolerance and diversity, here's what that really means. They're not tolerant and they're not diverse. You will either toe their line, which is a woke line, or you're out of a job. But they said it was not an officially approved or sanctioned flyer. You see, I call grade A fertilizer on that. And here's the reason why. It was done with all of their logos, their fonts. If you look at other Home Depot flyers, they're almost identical. So what's really going on at Home Depot? Well, they got caught. They got caught trying to shame all of their white, Christian, heterosexual employees. And I would encourage you to think about that the next time that you go to a home improvement store like Home Depot or Lowe's or anywhere else. And just remember that when you spend your hard-earned money there, folks, that's what you're supporting. You know who's ultimately responsible for the woke policies at Home Depot? It's the customers. You guys stop going to Home Depot and you tell them why you're not going to be going there to shop anymore, they'll change those policies. I guarantee it. Absolutely guarantee it. 844-747-8868. Got to take a quick break here. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, now is a great opportunity for you to head over to our website, the Live Show blog. We have a link to our app. We've got hundreds of people all over the place that have already downloaded the app, and we want you to as well. You'll be able to listen to the show 24 hours a day, along with our good friends Sebastian Gorka, Lars Larson, Larry Elder, Red Eye Radio. We've got a great lineup. This app is free of charge, and it is awesome because you can listen to us wherever you are in America. So, again, go to ToddStarnes.com, click on the Live Show blog, and you'll see the link to the app right there at the top. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Well, our good friend Mike Lindell is back at it again. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. Mike Lindell not only created the best pillow, but now he's created the best towel in the world. That's right. Mike Lindell found the best towel company right here in the USA. They have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft but actually work. And they're all made with USA cotton. They come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. Get this, folks. You're going to get a six-piece set, two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths made with USA cotton, soft yet absorbent. Normally $109.99, now just $39.99. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Just enter the promo code STARNES or call 800-839-8506 for these great radio specials. That's 800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNES. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us today. Senator David Perdue going to drop by a little bit later on today and running for governor against Brian Kemp. He's challenging the sitting Republican governor there. By the way, Brian Kemp, or rather David Perdue, will be one of the speakers. Yeah, Brian Kemp's not going to be anywhere near that rally on Saturday in Commerce, Georgia. This coming in from one of our listeners, very upset in Colorado. And yesterday, the Colorado Senate codified abortion for any reason or for no reason at all and at any time, even during childbirth. So the law that California or that Colorado is looking at here, let's say that you're giving birth and all of a sudden you decide you don't want your baby, even during delivery, the doctors would be allowed under Colorado law to abort that baby, to kill that baby. Just unbelievable. But this is what happens, folks. Elections have consequences. You keep electing these Democrats to the state house, these godless Democrats, these evil monsters. And I do not apologize for calling pro-abortion Democrats monsters or evil or demonic, because that's what they are. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. So we have some folks weighing in here on the Facebook page, a lot of people weighing in, saying if a judge cannot define, then how can a regular person just decide? It's a great question, and it's a fine question to ask. But we're not dealing with common sense anymore in this country, and that's a big problem. This story coming in, Herschel Walker and Dr. Oz are being fired, the White House demanding that they resign their positions on the President's Council on Sports, Fitness, and Nutrition, or else they're going to be fired. And to our knowledge, this has already happened, so they've been fired. I know Dr. Oz refused to resign. Good for him. The White House says that they can't have federal candidates sitting on presidential boards if they're not in keeping with the Biden administration policy. Now, Dr. Oz is running for Senate in Pennsylvania and Herschel Walker running for Senate in Georgia. By the way, Herschel's going to be on the program tomorrow. I want to read the letter they received. On behalf of President Biden, I'm writing to request your resignation as a member of the President's Council on Sports, Fitness, and Nutrition. Please submit your resignation to me by the close of business today. Should we not receive your resignation, your position with the council will be terminated, effective 6 o'clock tonight. Dr. Oz posted the letter on his social media platform and said, you know what? You're going to have to fire me. You're going to have to drag me out of here screaming and hollering. Good for you, Dr. Oz. How petty are these people? Just absolutely petty. We'll find out from Herschel Walker what he's decided to do. But Dr. Oz has been pretty vocal about all of this. I mean, really, it's not like it's the State Department. We're talking about the Council on Sports, Fitness, and Nutrition. All right, we're talking about jumping jacks and, I don't know, making smoothies. That's what we're talking about here. 844-747-8868. So look, here's the deal. We've got an event that we're going to be at. If you are anywhere near Memphis tonight, we're going to be doing a big book signing. There is a massive, massive Southern Gospel Music Extravaganza. Gerald Wolf, his hymn sing is coming to Bellevue Baptist Church tonight, and there's going to be a massive choir, hundreds of singers. All of these very popular musical groups, quartets, are going to be a part of this, and we're going to be there as well, and we would love for you. I think we're signing copies of the Biscuit Book tonight. You'll be able to meet Grace Baker. She'll be there. Caleb Park, our managing editor. So we would love for you to come out tonight, and we also have some tickets to give away. So if you're in Portland, Maine, don't bother calling because you're not going to be able to get a flight down to Memphis in time. But if you live within driving distance and you'd like to go to the concert tonight, Grace Baker, I'm going to call an audible here and we're going to throw out a trivia question. And this will be, you know, I'm a huge Andy Griffith Show fan. And so we're going back and, you know, this is like a fun night. You're singing the old hymns you used to sing back in the day, going to church and all that kind of good stuff. So here's the question. Tell us who was Andy Griffith's aunt on the Andy Griffith Show? What was the name of Andy on the show? What was her name on the show? The aunt of Andy Griffith, Sheriff Andy Taylor. 844-747-8868. If you know the answer, and if you're in the Mid-South, all right, that's the Grace. You're going to have to, like, you know, you're going to have to get the baseball bat out. Grace is busy answering phone calls right now. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868 if you'd like tickets. But you got to get the trivia question right. Who is the aunt on the old Andy Griffith Show? All right, I want to I've got to share this information with you about Babylon Bee. Remember, they've been actually banished from Twitter. And Babylon Bee has been very vocal and, quite frankly, very humorous about the whole transgender movement. And so they posted some stuff. You know, they're a satire site, and they're pretty darn funny. And they got locked out of their account. And Twitter is now responding because Babylon Bee says they're not going to back down. And Twitter also took similar action against the Texas Attorney General, as well as Tucker Carlson and a number of other people, Charlie Kirk, I believe, too. And Twitter says that they're going to keep doing that. They're going to keep banning anybody who says anything that is offensive to the LGBT community. So Twitter says you may not promote anything that might cause the transgender movement or the LGBT movement to be offensive. So how do you respond to that? Well, we've already moved over to Getter. That's what we've done. We've also moved over to the new platform that President Trump has started, the Truth Social, and I would encourage you to check that out as well. and True Social, pretty good. A lot of you are still on the waiting list for that. And then Don Trump Jr. just launched a new app yesterday, which we have we've got now, and it's a great app, an aggregation app called MXM. So it's like M&Ms, but without the N, it's an X, MXM, and you should check that out as well. All right, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. John in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM Radio, our flagship station. Hey, John, how are you today?
Doing good, Todd. How are you?
John, I'm doing well, and we've got a pair of tickets to give away to this big Gerald Wolfe hymn sing tonight in the Memphis area. We just need to know who was the aunt on the old Andy Griffith Show.
That's an easy one. It's Aunt B.
Yeah, that was pretty easy. John, you a big fan of Southern gospel music?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're going to have a great time tonight, and you've got to drop by the table and visit with Grace Baker and the whole team and say hello. Always nice when we're able to do something here in the hometown of Memphis. We're always out on the road, so we're kind of it's nice that we don't have to travel to the airport to get where we're going tonight, John. All right, John, hang tight. Don't go anywhere. And Grace is going to pick up, and she'll give you all the intel on how to pick up those tickets. And you know what? We'll do some trivia for the rest of the nation later on today, give you a chance to win a copy of the brand-new book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. By the way, that makes a terrific Easter present and an incredible Mother's Day present. So if you want to get yourself a copy, you can head over to the website right now. I will sign one, personalize one for your mom, for your grandma, for your aunt. I'm happy to do that, but you have to get one over on the website at toddstearns.com. Hour two coming up, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah. And hello, planet Earth. Good to have you with us today, everybody. Hope you are doing well. I have a question for you today. So, look, yesterday we told you about this horrible story out of New Orleans, where you had these four teenagers, a 17-year-old and a 15-year-old and a couple of 16-year-olds, and they carjacked this 73-year-old grandmother, a white woman, and they beat her and they drove off. She got caught up, tangled in her seatbelt. I guess they were trying to physically throw her out of the car in this very nice area of New Orleans. Mid-city is the area. If you're from that part of the country, you know exactly where that is. And they dragged this woman, this 73-year-old woman, they dragged her through the streets of New Orleans in broad daylight, 1:30 in the afternoon. They dragged her along until the impact of the attack was so severe that her arm was severed. Eyewitnesses were horrified, and we played all of this video yesterday, or this audio for you yesterday, and you can see the video for yourself on our website. It's extremely graphic. And the only reason we post these kinds of things is for you to understand the context. These are very graphic, horrific things that are happening in our country. And the arm of the woman was severed. She lay dying in the street in a pool of her own blood, the severed arm nearby. People were horrified. They called 911, but help did not arrive for many, many minutes later. And New Orleans, of course, a city controlled by Democrats, where they have really curtailed and put the screws to police departments. They do not have the resources they need to fight crime. And by and large, many of these kids are being raised not to be productive members of society, but they're raised to be savages. They're raised to behave as if they are animals. I'm not even sure an animal would do what these young people did to this sweet, innocent grandmother in the streets of New Orleans just this week. It's appalling. A lot of you people called in yesterday and wanted to talk about this story. So the young people, I believe all four, may now be arrested. One of the parents turned in their child, and that had to have been a devastating thing for that parent to do. I'm glad they did the right thing. And ultimately, when you reach a certain age, and I'm curious to know what that age is for you moms and dads. I guess you reach a certain age when you decide, you know what, this is on you, little boy, little girl. This is not on mom and dad. I mean, and because there are instances where you have moms and dads and they're good parents, they raise your kid, they discipline the child, they send the kid to Sunday school, and they try to do all the right things, and then, you know, it turns out they're the spawn of Satan. I mean, that happens. I get that. But by and large, what we are dealing with in a society here is that just parents aren't doing their job. And they're not raising their kids. They want to be the kid's friend. If there's an issue at school, it's not the child's fault. It's always the teacher's fault. Their child is always the victim. But at what age, mom and dad, is there an age where you say, you know what? If you do something, this is on you. And you just wash your hands of it as best you can. Because there's a good chance that maybe the 17-year-old gets charged as an adult in New Orleans, but I think the others are, and the 17-year-old was the driver, and maybe that person should bear the brunt of whatever charges are coming down. But it just seems to me that you're going to have a situation here, and this is not something that's unusual. This has happened time and time again, where you're having a kid commit a murder or a heinous crime at the age of 14, 15, 16, they're sent to juvenile hall, and then they're released when they turn 18 years old, and they just become predators. So my question is, now that these underage murders and violent crimes are becoming more prevalent in our society, how do you fix that? How do you address that as a society? Do you implement the death sentence, the death penalty? Do you reinstate public executions as a way to deter crime? Because whatever we're doing is not working. So what do we do to fix this problem? And I say this because there's another story. This is out of the state of Iowa, Fairfield, Iowa. Two teenagers, 16 years old, Jeremy Goodale and Willard Miller, used baseball bats to kill their Spanish teacher. This is from WQAD, that's the ABC affiliate in the Quad Cities area. Two Southeast Iowa teenagers used a baseball bat to kill their high school Spanish teacher. One of them described in social media post how they followed the woman, carried out the attack, and hid her body. And police have all of this information. We're talking about two 16-year-olds with baseball bats. Police say that the two teenage boys ambushed the teacher. Very lovely lady. Nohema Graber is the victim here. The boys are charged with murder and conspiracy to commit murder. Attorneys want the case moved to a juvenile court. So again, in 2 years, even if these boys are found guilty, they will be out on the streets hunting down some other school teacher. The school teacher, 66 years old. Can you imagine? Put yourself in the shoes of this woman. Her body was found hidden under a tarp. They put the body in a wheelbarrow. Details about the case were included in a search warrant that has now been sealed. But according to all of the social media posts and Snapchat messages, both of them were involved in the planning, execution, and disposal of the body. The messages described how the boys conducted surveillance on the school teacher, how she was killed, where the body was located, where her car was parked, and how they disposed of the body. They basically, folks, and I don't want to get too graphic here, it's the lunch hour, but they took a baseball bat to her head until she wasn't breathing. These are kids, 16 years old. And I'm curious here. I mean, how do we address this as a society? Because there are a lot more out here. Folks, and here in Memphis, we've got it's just off the charts insane the amount of violence we have in our town. We were talking to somebody yesterday, and they were calling from Atlanta, and they were talking about, well, you know, we've had, oh, my God, there was a horrible crime wave. We had over 160 murders last year. Okay, pal, we've had almost 400, and we're nowhere near the size of Atlanta. But how do we fix this problem? According to WQAD, it's likely Goodale and Miller would serve lengthy prison sentences if convicted as adults. But if the case is moved to juvenile court, they will be released from custody when they turn 18, less than 2 years. So how do we fix this problem? How do we fix it? Because I'm going to be honest with you. Let's just say I'm walking down the street, and I've got to go fill up the Cadillac with gas this afternoon again. So when I'm at that gas station, Grace Baker, I'm going to be honest with you. I would rather, if I'm going to be carjacked, I would rather be carjacked by a grown man than a teenage boy.
Fair enough.
Because I think you would be able, I think the grown man would have some sense of, okay, we're going to let you live, just give me the keys.
Yeah.
Those kids, they don't value, they'll shoot you dead.
No, they don't care at all.
They do not care. And we've just seen way too many of these kinds of things.
Yeah, it seems to be more frequent than ever before. Like, it's always existed. And maybe it's just the fact that we have social media now and people want to go down in infamy. But it seems like it's running more rampant than ever before.
Yeah, I mean, walking down the street, and a lot of people don't go into the downtown area anymore. It's just, you know, dangerous. But again, ladies and gentlemen, you're walking down the street, and you're with your friends, and all of a sudden, a bunch of people come up, and they, you know, and they're teenagers, and they've got guns, and they're robbing you. I'd rather be robbed by an older person. Those kids, we're not teaching kids the value of life. 844-747-8868, that's our toll-free telephone number. How do we fix this problem, America? What is the solution here? I mean, we've got plenty of laws on the books. But right now, we live in a nation that glorifies violence. And I think until that changes, this is only going to get worse. And that's why there are these mass evacuations out of the city into communities, suburbs, the country, where at least you have a fighting chance. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Wow, this story just keeps getting worse and worse out of New Orleans. So now we know how the 73-year-old grandmother died. So when they shoved her out of the car, the seatbelt, she was still sort of in the seatbelt. So when they shut the door back, the seatbelt was caught up in the door. And one of the eyewitnesses, he and his wife, they rushed over. She was the 73-year-old grandma, Linda Fricke, Mrs. Fricke. They said her body was in one place, and then her arm was in another. The entire arm was severed, and that her clothes had been ripped off. And so she literally lay naked and in the street. So the eyewitnesses here just good these are good Samaritans. There was nothing they could do. Mark Masker and his wife, this is from the Fox 8, the local. This is getting local coverage, but not national. And he said that, Mr. Masker said, I've never been so angry, but just to sit beside a woman who's a mother or a grandmother and watch her life literally fade away. And he said that both he and the wife were praying. So this woman did not die alone. There were people there that were praying over her as she slipped off into glory. Unbelievable. All four in prison or in jail, by the way. All four teenagers. Let's go to the phones here. Jackson in Iowa on the line, listening to us on our KWAM app. Hi, Jackson. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. If it hadn't been for you, I wouldn't have heard about this. Not Fox News, not Sean Hannity, not Mark Levin, which really surprises me. Why is it that didn't get much coverage, but yet even Court TV, why has that been left out?
It is a great question, Jackson, and I'm going to answer it, and you're not going to like the answer. I believe it's because the victim here is a white woman. That's the reason why.
I believe that. But yet last night on Court TV, did you hear about the gentleman that was an ex-Vietnam veteran, this guy who suffered autism? He just turned 18. The kid said he was bullied, and they made up an excuse that he wasn't in his right mind. And he ran the man, right? He just drove over the guy. He didn't care. The officers asked him, said, why did you do that? He said, I enjoyed it. You hear me, Todd? I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Jackson, there is evil in our land.
Yeah, that's evil. That is sheer evil. But they're making an excuse for him because he suffers from autism.
Well, Jackson.
Well, I was bullied in high school, too, but I didn't murder anybody.
And Jackson, again, look at the crime. You know, whenever a city is burned down or there are riots, the criminal activity is always justified or explained away by the media. Now, I want someone to explain to me, why is it that a George Floyd situation warrants not only national news, but it becomes a culture-changing movement, but a 73-year-old white grandmother dragged through the streets of New Orleans by four teenagers, why that is not a national news story. I think it's simply a matter of skin color.
Her employer was just shocked. He felt so bad. You know, she worked for him, and he couldn't believe it. He said, that's just the most disgusting thing I ever heard of. I seen the video, by the way, Todd, but I didn't get to see it. It was blurred when they started driving the car off.
Unbelievable. Jackson,
and they look so cocky, Todd. Too, they look so cocky when they got in her car.
Jackson, appreciate
they drove off.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Jackson.
Thanks,
and
Todd,
thank
I'll call you back.
Please do. All right, thank you, Jackson, and we appreciate your great call. Grace, we're getting some breaking news. I have to read this. You're not going to believe it. You are not going to believe this.
Lay it on me, Todd.
I just received an urgent email from Young America's Foundation. Now, you know, we were over there over the weekend.
Yeah.
And I was speaking to the high school kids.
Yes.
The young conservative kids.
Uh-oh.
And I gave a heck of a great speech.
I believe it.
And I explained in my speech the transgender issue. And I explained it like the issue here at the heart, the root of the transgender movement is this. It's this idea that everybody has their own version of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your truth, I have my truth, and then when the truths collide, you have chaos,
yes.
Right? Because everybody's going to have their own truth. So, I was illustrating the point because, again, these are high school kids, all right? I didn't want to make this like some sort of professorial lecture.
Not quite ready for that.
So
yet.
I said, some of you may be looking at me right now, and you may say, wow, Starnes probably should not be eating that dessert. He could stand to lose a few pounds, right? All right, so their truth is that I'm overweight, all right? Right?
I'm not commenting.
No, it's okay. You can comment. So you would agree with the – it's not a trick question.
Okay.
So I said, that is your truth that I'm overweight. I said, but what if my truth, to borrow a phrase from our friend and colleague Chet Hopper, but what if my truth is that I am trans slender?
Exactly.
So in other words, I identify as a skinny person.
This is a good point.
Who are you? So the kids lost it.
I'm trying to keep a straight face.
YouTube has now – canceled my speech. So, and thousands of people watched this thing. It was, I was pretty excited about the audience. A lot of people watched this speech. Twitter, or Yap says that we have formally appealed this outrageous decision, and they were rejected. Oh, my gosh. I've gotten Yap in trouble with YouTube. It's
horrible. I'm sure you're not the first one to do it, though.
Todd, we also sent a harsh letter to the CEO of Google, YouTube's parent organization. I pasted the letter below. Oh, Senator Rick Scott is coming to my defense. And he's already tweeted his own protest. And they say, I hope you will fight back against this thuggish behavior. These tech giants must be held accountable. So there you have it, folks. YouTube has now removed a speech I gave over the weekend because they say it's, what, hate speech? Unbelievable. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Geezaloo, America. I really blew that one. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So, Grace, in the last segment, we were telling people about YouTube banning a speech. It's the wrong organization.
Come on, Todd.
I know. I told you I have I told you I had a problem reading things with the eye.
Well, that's why I've been blowing up your messages so that they're big and you can read
point.
Them.
It's
yep,
terrible.
I literally blew. I was like, okay, we're going to make this bigger so he can read it.
Like a senior citizen. So it's not. So we did speak at YAF, but we also spoke at CPAC, and YouTube actually removed the CPAC speech. CPAC has just reached out to me, and they're enraged, and they want me to be enraged. That's the whole point of this. So we're posting a story up on the website
here
momentarily.
We're all enraged together.
We're all enraged. I'm angry. I'm screaming.
Here, I am woman. Hear me roar.
Do you identify or just you are?
I am.
All right. Good for you, Grace Baker.
Thanks.
You know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. There is a story up on our website. Speaking of our website, U.S. Army surgeon in tears, top brass ordered silence on vaccine injuries. What is going on here? I want to go to our good friend from Liberty Council, Matt Staver. The guy's on top of all these stories, and they're defending religious liberty all over America. Matt, good to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Todd.
So before we jump into this, Matt, I have been of the opinion that something is not quite right with these vaccines, that that far too many people seeing all these reports of folks getting sick, suffering side effects and whatnot. I was one of those people. I've never had the China virus. I got the vaccine because my doctor said you need to get the vaccine. And I ended up in the hospital for a week with a heart issue. Matt, before we get to this, I have to share with you what I just got in the mail this morning from my insurance company. They're now offering a 10% discount if you suffer side effects from the vaccine and you end up in the hospital. And they list all of the side effects. Matt, that tells me that a heck of a lot of people in this country are suffering side effects from the vaccine.
There are a lot of people suffering side effects. If you look at the life insurance companies as well, they're maxed out. They're having unprecedented number of just unexpected deaths of otherwise healthy people. There's only one thing that's changed that caused this that I believe is very consistent with all the other global data, and that is the onset of the vaccines. And that plays right into this witness here in the military case.
Dr. Teresa Long, tell us about this Army flight surgeon.
Yeah, she's a lieutenant colonel in the United States Army, joined ROTC at 16, enlisted at 17. She's a flight surgeon. She also has a master's in public health. As part of her master's degree, she was encouraged by the military to specialize in the DMED, which is the Defense Military Epidemiology Database. It's the database that includes all of the medical conditions and treatments for all the different men and women in the military. So as part of that expertise, not only treating individuals, and as a flight surgeon, she treats a lot of pilots. She started noticing myocarditis, pericarditis in these young pilots that really you only see that maybe once in your medical career. She was seeing it, and others were seeing it quite frequently, and other kinds of conditions, miscarriages, also neurological conditions and so forth. So she began doing some research. She compared 2021 to the previous 5 years, and what she found was startling. She looked at that with other researchers as well within the military, and the incidence of increased explosion of all these different neurological, heart conditions, miscarriages, bleeding, other kinds of conditions compared to the previous 5 years. Something happened. And so we brought her to testify in our military case. It's a class action on behalf of all the men and women in the military, and it's still ongoing. The night before, as we're preparing, she gets a call from the commander, and the commander orders her not to testify regarding her knowledge on this issue. She is shocked and intimidated by this. She tells him that she's a protected whistleblower because she reported this to Senator Ron Johnson, who published it on January 24 of this year. She also is subpoenaed to testify, so this was interfering with a witness, and it's a federal crime to do so. That's when he said, the order is coming from higher than me. That means it had to come from a general or someone higher, the Department of Defense or even Biden himself. Interfering with a witness on the eve of testifying in a federal court. So she's on the stand the next day, and I'm going through her testimony, covering her background, education, and I ask her a question regarding this particular area. And she responded, I've been ordered not to testify. Judge Stephen Meriday looked up quickly. He said, ordered by who? She began to speak, and I walked her through what happened, and she talked about how she was intimidated, even threatened, felt threatened for her very life as a result of what she has uncovered and the intimidation that happened the day before. Then I asked her this question, Todd. I said, the information that you have personal knowledge of and expertise that you want to testify to, that you've been ordered not to testify to, do you think that would be relevant and helpful for this court and the public? She said yes, and she paused, held back tears, and she started to tear up, looked directly at the judge, and she said this, quote, I have so many soldiers being destroyed by this vaccine. Not a single member of my senior command has discussed my concerns with me. I have nothing to gain and everything to lose by talking about it. I'm okay with that because I'm watching people get absolutely destroyed.
Unbelievable.
It was a dramatic testimony.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line here in our beautiful Liberty University studios, Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel. Matt, why is it that the military doesn't want this information getting out there?
You know, Todd, I thought about this at the very beginning. I think it's even more so now. You think about it logistically and logically. Why are they not just backing off? Even Hawaii backed off its mask mandate, the last state in the country to do so. We know now that the vaccines are causing a significant injury. In fact, in the military, there's more deaths. We know this indisputably by the data. There's more deaths caused by the vaccines or these shots to the military members than COVID itself. There's more deaths in 2021 from the shots themselves than the 2 years of COVID combined. I mean, that's startling. And we know it's not effective. We know it's not preventing the transmission of Omicron. We know there's other ways to deal with this. We know we're on the other side of the bell curve of Omicron. Why do they not just back off? I think the real reason is going back to Secretary Austin's statement earlier in 2021 after he's confirmed. And he said, referring to January 6th, that they needed to purge people out of the military. He's thinking not of so much the people that would want to have, you know, illegal activities, thinking about ideological people that disagree with him. And I believe that's what this is all about, purging men and women, particularly men and women of Christian faith and values, out of the military. There's no other reason about it, because this has undermined military readiness. It's killing people. It's injuring people. We had multiple doctors testify, military doctors testify, how it's not only killing people and injuring people, but causing some to commit suicide because of the pressure. It's undermining mission readiness. It's undermining morale. Why are they doing it? I think they're doing it as an excuse to purge the military, and that's a more sinister reason than just having some ideological support for some failed COVID shot.
I'm curious, Matt, about Dr. Long. Clearly, she is in the crosshairs with the military. How is she doing? And I know you guys are, I mean, you guys do a terrific job of protecting your clients here, but what is her long-term status with the military?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that after her last birth about a decade plus ago, She developed heart conditions, and so she's actually had a medical disability in the military, so she's been non-deployable. She doesn't go overseas, but she's able to treat and work within the military, and she's treated COVID patients and many other things. She's never had this shot. She's taken care of herself. She's never had COVID. She's worked around COVID patients. But once she came forth with this information, after 10 years, they revoked on March 13 her medical exception, her medical exception in accommodation, and now it looks like they're getting ready to revoke or deny her religious exemption, which means she will be facing discipline absent a court order for all these men and women in the military. This faithful individual who's been in the military, loved it since age 16, her, like many others, are being forced out. She is a godly person. She actually quoted to the judge on the stand something that came to her on the morning of the testimony. It was from Leviticus 5:1, essentially paraphrasing. It says, if you know a fact and you refuse to testify to it, it's a sin. And so moving boldly forward.
Well, thank you for bringing this to our attention, Matt. I mean, this is a pretty heinous thing that's happening. And the fact of the matter is, these fighter pilots, once they develop that heart condition, that's it. Their military careers are over.
Yeah, and in fact, although she has had to ground some, then because she grounded them because of this, they're not allowing her to see certain pilots anymore. And so some of these pilots are literally flying aircraft with loaded missiles in practice runs or in combat situations that are developing these myocarditis situations, and that could explode at any moment.
That's terrifying, and I can tell you that my incident happened while I was just on the radio. I was not flying a fighter jet. I was sitting here, and it is a terrifying thing because you immediately become just disoriented. I mean, it's a,
yep.
You know, so my goodness, a very dangerous situation there. Folks, you've got to read the story up at toddstearns.com. Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel. Matt, appreciate the great work you guys are doing.
Thank you, Todd. Always good to be with you.
All right. Wow. You just think about this, folks. Just think about this. Why is it that the military is trying to hide all of this? And I go back to this letter I got this morning from my insurance company, and I was astounded. But the insurance company is not going out there. Every single person who's, and I'm not going to name the insurance company here, but the insurance company, they've got tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people who are who have policies. All of us got the same letter that said, hey, if you are suffering side effects from the China virus vaccine, and they list all of the problems, including liver problems, kidney problems, cancer, and a number of heart, most of them were heart-related issues, then you are eligible to receive a 10% discount on whatever. I mean, that's not just a random thing. That tells me that something else is going on here. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. I want to go to Salem, Oregon. David wants to weigh in on this situation with the military, listening to us on KYKN. David, what do you know?
Yeah, good day, Todd. Hey, just want to let the listeners know, December 17th this past year, our son, he finally came home. And this all started in June of this past year, 2021, when he went in. He wanted to serve his country in the Army, and it was a childhood dream of his. And going in as a 24-year-old to serve, and he's a smart, he's white, he's a Christian, he's conservative, and he's exactly. So, to your question, Todd, why do they want to get these young men and women out? Because it's a ruse to get out people who are going to stand up and fight. And in the meantime, they are focusing so much on the words they've now transformed, the true meaning of equity, of wokeism. That's the focus. And now we're getting off mission about national protection and defense. About, of course, we want to treat people fairly, but they have just taken this and turned it upside down. But we're so grateful our son got out. He was one of 11 out of 3,000 at a base in Arizona that stood up and said, I am not going to do this to my body. And so
We're grateful, but we're saddened at the same time.
David, did he receive an honorable discharge? Dishonorable discharge? How do they handle that?
Oh, see, even that, my friend, he was threatened with Leavenworth, court martial, and everything, and he got out. And even with the news that was going out and being leaked out there about dishonorable discharges, he got out with an honorable.
Good for him.
Absolutely.
Well, he stood his ground, David, and that's, I think, to your point here, they are trying to intimidate these young kids, and that's what they are. I mean, we call them kids, but, you know, they're, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, and they're putting their lives on the line for the country, but they're kids, and it's easy to intimidate them, and that's what's happening here. David, I've got to run. Appreciate the call, and God bless you, and thank you for bringing us up to speed on your son, and please thank him for his service to our great nation. We've got to take a break here, folks. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, the breaking news. YouTube removing a speech I delivered at CPAC. That was the one where I bashed Fauci. I said he ought to be serving 10 to 20 in the federal pen. I still stand by that. You know, this is the kind of thing you would expect from Vladimir Putin and the Russians. Not YouTube and Google, but there you go. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Louisiana. Corky on the line, KROF, the great radio station down there. Corky, what's going on?
Good morning, Todd. And I want to start with just one thing. Grace Baker is the most wonderful lady that I've ever talked to. And Claire is also very sweet. They take care of me whenever I call.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. So when it's time for the reviews, you know, the employee reviews, I'm making a note of that, Corky.
Okay. First thing you said earlier, I want to go back, is, you know, they always have the word of the year. My word of the year was perception, not how it is, but how it's shown to you and you receive it. But that's not what I'm talking about. My best friend and I, he came over to, because I'm seeing about 9 doctors in a month, and we went to Sunset on Monday. That's the day the vice president was coming in.
Oh, yes. That's where she gave the speech about the passage of time.
Right. Passage of time. I mean, give me a break. And what's funny was that she was supposed to come 2 weeks ago. Well, she didn't come. Then she was supposed to come last week, and her husband had COVID. Then she's supposed to come Monday. We forgot. And at 11 o'clock, we left my house. And I live in Karen Crow, which is 6,300 people. We're 6 miles from Sunset, which is 3,200 people. And we went there, and we saw a man at a gunsmith shop, and we went to another friend's house, and we left and came home. We have yet to see a barricade or a policeman or anybody blocking us off from the motorcade.
Really?
Yeah, and we were talking to a community of 10,000 people off of I-49. I mean, got home and saw on the news the pictures of it. I go, like, I'm wondering if that's another picture from somewhere else, because I haven't seen any of those people. And there was nobody that we saw out there.
So nobody showed up in the middle of in the small town, Louisiana. You would think if the vice president came to town, there would be a massive turnout. I mean, what, 80 million people allegedly voted for them. Being the operative word. So. All right, Corky. Well, appreciate the call, and thanks for the update there. No, Corky, we got to run. Sorry about that. But we are late for a break here, and we're coming up on the top of the hour news. Folks, we've got a full-blown hour coming your way that you're going to want to stick around and check out. Mike Pence under attack by the University of Virginia. We're going to get to that story. We're also speaking with former Senator David Perdue, who's running for is running for the governorship there in the state of Georgia. So a lot going on, and maybe a chance to win some prizes as well. We're going to throw out some trivia in the next hour as well. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
All right, President Biden is speaking overseas and says that if the Russians use chemical weapons, then we're going to get involved in the war. That just happened a few moments ago, and we are efforting that that video. We'll post it on our website here momentarily. It also coincides with a statement from the Selective Service. All you young people out there, if you are over the age of 18 years old, you might want to pay attention here. The Selective Service issuing a statement on their Twitter feed. In the event of a draft, our agency would partner with FEMA to provide opportunities to conscientious objectors to ensure our nation keeps moving forward. What in the world does that mean? And why exactly are they putting out that statement today of all days? We'll keep you updated on that, but things are looking a little dicey right now, and who knows, there may be boots on the ground in Ukraine in the coming weeks. We'll keep you posted on that. So as I told you, last week had the opportunity to fly out to Santa Barbara, speak to some wonderful young people over at the Reagan Ranch Center, which is run by our friends at Young America's Foundation. They send conservative speakers all over the country to speak at university campuses. And again, I think this is a great thing, and it's worth having the conversations and debates. And more often than not, when liberal students are exposed to the right thinking, they change their views and they come over to the right side of the table, if you will. Well, former Vice President Mike Pence is speaking at the University of Virginia, and all you know what is breaking loose. The student newspaper publishing an editorial demanding that the vice president, former vice president, be deplatformed, and they say that the vice president's appearance could jeopardize students and put them in harm's way. So to help us figure out what's going on, we have invited our friend, the president of Young America's Foundation, Scott Walker, to join us. Governor, good to have you with us today.
Well, I should forewarn your listeners that listening to my conservative views might make them feel threatened, right? I mean, if you use that bizarre logic out there that they're saying, it just shows you how it's not just some radical group. It's the student newspaper, the very people who should be championing free speech, for objecting to Mike Pence showing up on campus. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and just for the record here, I know that the former vice president has spoken at a number of YAF events. Governor, to your knowledge, has anyone been injured? Has anyone lost their life as a result of attending a speech delivered by Vice President Mike Pence?
No, and absolutely not. And not only at our events, like the ones you just spoke at, I just came back from speaking to those same kids out at the Reagan Ranch, which, by the way, if your listeners are interested, YAF.org. If you're a student, if you know a student, you got a student, son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, come and visit us. But it's not only at those conferences that there's no one been injured or hurt or maimed or anything like that. He was just at Stanford University, where I spoke 2 years ago, almost to the day, at a YAF-sponsored event. And, oh, by the way, one of the organizers of that happened to be Susan Rice's son. So there is hope for young people, even those who've been raised in a more left of center household. But Pence has spoke there. He spoke at Texas A&M, at the University of Iowa. And the only thing that has been damaged throughout that are the viewpoints of radicals on the left, who were soundly, as they are with all of our speakers, Ben Shapiro, Katie Pavlich, you name it, anytime our folks are able to come on campus. The only thing injured are the egos of those who think they know all and are firmly put in their place. But absolutely ridiculous. But this just shows you how far the left will go to cancel conservative thought.
What concerns me here is that you're right. We're talking about the student newspaper stamp, but we're talking about college kids who have been indoctrinated so much that they believe they have a right to shut down any opinion that they disagree with.
Well, we see in our polling, we constantly are doing surveys and polls with this generation of not only college, but high school and younger. It's why part of our goal with our long game is to reach more campuses with more students, to get them at younger ages. We're even going to start a middle school program next month, and to do an even better job of communicating that conservative message to them. But the left, understanding, as it did with Rice Cameron, as I mentioned, someone who grew up in a very liberal household, you know, often the opposite of what we hear, where conservative parents will grumble about sending their kid to college and they become liberal. This was an instance where it was the other way around. But that's where, in his case, he was able to hear the facts, to hear the conservative common sense message that Todd, you and I and others talk about. And that's why the left, you know, they don't want to compete on a level playing field. They want, cancel culture is about disavowing the ability of anyone to speak out with views that aren't aligned with the radical left. It's happening in our colleges and universities. Increasingly, it's happened in school from kindergarten through 12th grade, not only in government-run schools, but often even in private schools. And it's why we at Young America's Foundation are in this fight, really not just for the battle of the day, but for the heart and soul of our republic.
And that's what it's all about. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, in our beautiful Liberty University studios, former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. Governor, when you look at this kind of behavior, this is what the Russians are doing. This is almost Soviet in ideology, where you silence dissenting viewpoints and punish those viewpoints.
Todd, you're right. I've said this repeatedly in the past year, and I chuckle at it because it's funny, but it's not too far from accurate. I said if we were to close college campuses down again, it would do more to stop the spread of communism than the spread of COVID.
Wow.
But there's sadly a lot of truth. And the most endangered thing on a college campus these days is anyone with a conservative voice. And, you know, it used to be even 35 years ago when I was on campus, yeah, it was left-wing professors dominated, but at least you could debate, you could talk, you could have conversations. Today, you have none of that, and it's not just with professors. It's with fellow students and other activists who literally threaten students who have a different point of view. Even I was surprised the New York Times, I was actually shocked they allowed this editorial to be printed, but a young student said she's afraid to have voice anything on campus that's other than just that radical point of view, and she considers herself to be a liberal. So this is hurting, I think, the ability for young people to get a quality education. It used to be education, particularly part of it in college, was to be exposed to the different ideas, to learn from that, to think critically, to be stronger in your beliefs after that. And now all they're hearing is one point of view. We had an escaping communism seminar at the Reagan Ranch at the end of last year, and the number one takeaway students gave us from that was how mad they were, how angry they were, not at us, but at their schools, because they didn't really teach them what was happening historically, was happening in communist and socialist countries. We've got to get that message out. We've got to counter it with love for America, not blind love, but love based on the good and the bad and the ugly, understanding how Americans have continuously overcome obstacles and made our country even better, not the malarkey that they hear from most teachers and professors across America.
And Governor, I know we have a very generous audience across the country, and this is really one of the organizations that we need to be supporting, everybody. They are helping educate and raise up that next generation of American patriots, and the lessons and the seminars and the lectures that are happening at YAF, need to be had. It's a lot of fun if you've got a high school kid, again, mentioning the middle school program coming up, but they're also going to be educated, whether it's on economics or religious liberty or the foundations of the country, and those are great things. And, of course, Governor, to your point, you guys are a nonprofit, so you rely on donations, and it's a worthy cause to be a part of.
YAF.org, YAF.org, if people got a student, they want to help, they want to support, they want to get involved. We do, as you know, we have great conferences, great speakers, but it's not just hearing people, it's then training them to be the leaders, the next generation of leaders in the fight for freedom.
I love it. You know, my favorite part, Governor, is the Q&A, and yeah. I call it the Stump Starnes segment. But it's a lot of fun, though. You never know what the kids are going to ask. And always great questions, though.
Oh, they are. Even the high schoolers. They look so young until I sit in on the Q&A or do it during my own session. And I'm thinking, how do these high school kids have such great questions? It gives me hope that they're brave because they're up against this. They're willing to speak out. We're going to train them to do even better. We defend them. Even if we have to go to court, we'll defend their right to be heard and to be organized.
Love it. All right, Governor, we're going to leave it there. Always good hearing from you, and thank you for the invitation to come out. Had just a great time meeting the folks there at Santa Barbara.
Thanks, Todd. You always do a great job. Keep fighting for freedom.
All right, Governor Scott Walker from Young America's Foundation, YAF.org, the organization founded by William F. Buckley, Jr., and Ronald Reagan was a significant part of YAF, and they just recently bought Reagan's childhood home in Dixon, Illinois, and they're in the process of fixing that up, and that's going to be a great opportunity for you to go and visit the roots of Reagan, and what a great president. And it's so exciting that we are a part, and this radio program is a part of raising up that next generation of young people. All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going right to the phones. And, Grace, I want to throw out another trivia question. Another big popular TV show back in the 90s, Saved by the Bell. Remember
I've heard
that?
Of it.
Saved by the Bell.
Never seen it.
We want to know who is the – wait, what?
No, sorry. I'm watching Beverly Hills right now.
Beverly Hillbillies?
No. Beverly Hills 90210.
Oh, 90120. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. It's my apologies.
Close.
Different radio.
Sorry. It did come
different
out in the
TV 90s. Show. That's true. We want to know who was the principal on Saved by the Bell. Who was the principal? What was the character's name on Saved by the Bell? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
If you love to travel, you love cool experiences, you are going to love Viator. Viator is the world's leading travel experience marketplace. And for me, Sun Valley skiing is huge on my bucket list. So I just opened the Viator app, searched Sun Valley, and boom, custom ski and boot fittings and tickets delivered right to our condo. Pretty unbelievable. Just download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking. One app, over 300,000 experiences you'll remember. Do more with Viator.
Have you joined the Association of Mature American Citizens yet? If not, what are you guys waiting for? It's a lot of fun, and it's one of the best decisions I've made. And it doesn't matter how old you are. You can be 18 years old, and you can still join AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. And here's the reason why. Because they're standing up for all of us conservatives. They're standing up for the future of America, and they are the only conservative voice for mature Americans as we stand up for freedom in this great country. Get this, over 2.3 million members already a part of AMAC, and they share our values. And folks, you're going to get some exclusive benefits as a result of your membership. If you like to travel, they have incredible travel deals, cell phone plans, the whole nine yards. All you need to do is go to amac.us/starnes. That's amac.us AMAC.us/Starnes. AMAC.us/Starnes. You can join or you can renew today. And if you if you go to my page there, they're going to give you some great discounts. I am a proud member. Get this, $16 a year. $16 a year. That's it. So you can be a member here. It's not going to bust your bank account. And it's time that we protect our faith, our family, and our freedom. And you can do that by going to amac.us/Starnes and Standing for America. All right, we have a trivia question on the table. Let's go to Commerce, Georgia. Jason listening to us on WDUN. Jason, guess who's coming to town? Guess who's coming to town Saturday?
Not only Donald Trump, but you are too.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'll definitely see you there. It's about a mile away is the drag back steps, about a mile away from my house. So I'll be there bright and early with bells on.
Well, all you got to do is just get a ladder, hop up, put the lawn chair on the roof, and you're going to have a great view.
There we go. I'll do it.
All right, Jason. So we've got a trivia question on the table, and we want to know from the old TV show Saved by the Bell, who was the principal?
Mr. Belding.
Yes, that is correct. Who, by the way, Jason, is a fellow Southerner. He is from from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
I did not know that.
Early in my career, I was an assignment editor for a TV station, and I'm in the newsroom, and I was caught up in getting ready for the news and assigning reporters, you know, wherever they were going to go, and I was just right out of journalism school. And I just glanced up, and I'm like, oh, hey, Mr. Belding, how are you? and I stopped. I'm like, wait a second. What's Mr. Belding doing in the newsroom?
Oh, no.
Well, Jason, is everybody around Commerce excited about the big rally coming up Saturday?
You can feel it in the air. I mean, not every corner, but about every half a mile, they got all the Trump flags for sale and all the Trump swag and all that, and yeah, it's definitely, you can definitely tell it's coming for sure.
Well, you gotta try to hunt me down. It's going to be a huge crowd there, but I'll be speaking early on, and I'm going to give a big shout out to all of our great radio stations that carry us up there in Georgia, including WDUN. But it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. My first Trump rally I've ever been to, and I'm definitely excited to go. It'll be fun.
You're going to have a blast. Now, Jason, hang tight. We're going to get your info, and we're going to send you a signed copy of my new book, Our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl. So thanks for calling in, and thanks for supporting our great radio affiliates there. All right, 844-747-8868. Let's go back to the phones. David in Georgia wants to weigh in on this teen violence. David, what's up?
Hi, Todd. So, yes, I work as, like, an assistant youth minister at a church in, metro Atlanta. And the kids, I don't know if they're scared, but a lot of them have started bringing guns to, like, youth group and, like, things at the churches. And stuff. And, yeah, yeah. We've had discussions when we've heard of this and we've talked to the teens, but it's terrifying because, like, they don't feel like us adults can protect them for some reason. And we've had sit downs with them and we're like, we're the adults. We can handle the situation. We'll get, like, some police. And they're like, well, I'm not snitching on who I have beef with. And we're at a loss sometimes because these are good kids. We've known them since they were like 10, 11, and they started youth group, and they're like 17, 18 now, and they're, you know, packing heat, coming to church, because, you know, they're ready to get rolled up on by someone, maybe, and it's terrifying for them. It's terrifying for us as adults to know this is happening, but I can't understand how they are, but apparently we've got more of a problem than we realize sometimes with these kids.
So, David, we've got about 30 seconds here. What do you tell moms and dads? I mean, how do we fix this problem?
Honestly, it starts at home and in the churches. Like, we tell them, the church is your safe place. This is a sanctuary. God's going to protect you. But really, it boils down to the families. Like, we need these families to have their kids feel safe at home, but also safe when they're out and about.
Wow. David, first of all, thank you as a youth pastor and such an important part of the pastoral staff. So God bless you for your ministry. And thank you for listening to the show as well. And folks, that's what it's about. As we continue to grow, we need to invite the next generation to join talk radio, join the conversation, so that we can try to make sense out of all this stuff. Got to take a break here. Stick around. David Perdue coming up next. Tomorrow afternoon after the show, heading over to Georgia for the big Trump rally, looking for restaurant recommendations, ladies and gentlemen. So if you've got any good places that I need to chow down, and I think our managing editor, Caleb Park's going to be along with us, give us a holler and look forward to speaking to all of our great listeners. We've got thousands of people. I understand even Joe from LJ is heading over. They're going to have a big RV, and we have been invited to hang out at the RV. So, Grace Baker, I wish you could make this trip. That was going to be a lot of fun. I mean, you never know.
Yeah, you never know.
I mean, those RVs, yeah. Joe from LJ knows how to throw a party.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
So, look, one of the other speakers who's going to be there is our good friend, the former senator from the state of Georgia, and now running for governor, David Perdue. Good to have you back with us, Senator.
Hey, Todd, glad to be here again. Listen, I'm really excited about you coming back to Georgia. We're going to have a great time up there. Thanks for coming back.
You know, it's an honor, and we have so many listeners out in that part of the country, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We were talking to somebody who called in from Commerce, Senator, and they said you can just feel the excitement in the air.
Well, people have been here since yesterday. I mean, or the day before yesterday, actually, lining up there. It's amazing. You know, the doors open, the gates open at 2 o'clock. It's at 7 o'clock, I think, is when the president comes on. But I talked to him yesterday. I've talked to him a couple times this week. He's very excited about coming. It's going to be at Banks County Dragway in Commerce, Georgia. If people in that part of the state or anywhere really miss this, they're going to miss a real treat because he is fired up about what's going on in Georgia. He knows how important this governor's race is. He knows how important it is to get that Senate seat back, and how important it is to put a Republican conservative back in the White House in 24 to stop this madness tide. And he's coming to Georgia to make sure that everybody knows that we won't accomplish either of those goals if we don't win this governor's race.
Now,
so that's coming.
Now, Senator, we're going to be talking for a little while, so I don't mean to, but this what I'm about to say pretty much sums up where we're at in this race for the governorship. Donald Trump is endorsing you. He's backing you. Chris Christie is backing Brian Kemp. That pretty much says what needs to be said.
Well, you know, when Newt Gingrich steps out and endorses somebody, it's an unusual day. He has endorsed us, and he came out early, actually, before I ran, and said I was the only one that could beat Abrams because Brian Kemp has divided the party. That was before I got in the race. And so, I'm running against the Chamber of Commerce, the Republican Governors Association, the big corporate entities and the power brokers downtown. I mean, this is a people's race against politicians. I'm running against a guy who's been in the governor's office for 4 years, but he's also been an elected official for 20 years. And the things coming out of their campaign now seem a little desperate to us because I think they know that the current polls are not really reflecting what true primary voters are going to do. And so if Brian Kemp had not caved in and turned our elections over to Abrams, we really wouldn't be in this mess, and that's why Trump is coming, to make sure everybody understands what's on the line, and that if we get out and vote, we can overwhelm whatever shortcomings are still left in our voting system.
The polling data is out there, and they have Kemp leading. I'm going to be interested to see those polls, those same polls, after the Trump rally, because I think that does really help reset the table so that people can focus on, hey, we've got a big primary and we have a decision to make. And I'm going to be curious to see those polling numbers after this rally this weekend.
Well, I will too, Todd. Only about half the Republican primary voters in Georgia know of the endorsement. We don't have a lot of money in our campaign. I got in late. I'm an outsider, and the establishment money is already lined up behind the governor. And that's understandable. That's the way it happens in a transactional race like that. But you know, we're fighting this at the ground level. I mean, we're talking to ordinary people every day in places like Nahunta, Georgia, Hayhira, Hiawassee, I mean, all over the state. And so I really sense that this is very much like in 2014. I was down 8 to 10 points by most public pollsters back then, and we won by 8 points. And the reason is that polls just can't pick up all of the concerns that are out here in various groups around the state. So I'm very happy with where we are in our position. I think President Trump is going to help us this week get the message out there that we do have his endorsement. And then we got to clean this mess up. I mean, we got to clean up this election system that has not been totally fixed yet. And the only way to do that is to get me elected.
Senator, I'm a fan of yours, and I would be honored to be out there on the campaign trail if you need me. But I'm curious, what happened at the Senate? You know, you're going back and analyzing that Senate race. What happened in that Senate race?
Well, it's pretty simple. In May of 2020, our governor and secretary of state and attorney general caved in to Abrams and gave her everything she wanted in a consent decree. And then they changed the other rules that allowed really strange things like money to be given straight to a county election board. So Zuckerberg gave $55 million to 9 different county election boards, mostly Democrat. And we had things like mobile voting buses in Democratic areas. It was unusual, very strange. And they mailed out absentee ballots without having applications, all the things that were really against the rules, against the law beforehand. And then after 2020, in November, I won that election, even with all the intransigence. I won by 90,000 votes over a Democrat. And we got 480,000 more votes than Kemp got in 2018 because we pulled everybody together. But we were a few thousand votes, only out of 5 million people that voted, only a few thousand votes short of the 50% rule and got pulled into a runoff. And then so many people, over several hundred thousand people, had lost confidence in the system because of what Brian Kemp had allowed to happen during the November election, that they thought their vote was going to be wasted and didn't come back out in January. And so this is a situation that should not have happened. I put the responsibility at the feet of our governor, Brian Kemp, and a lot of the madness that's going on in Washington could have been stopped if Brian Kemp had not allowed that election to be run by Stacey Abrams. The 13 soldiers might still be alive. We'd still be energy independent. We would still have the sanctions on Russia. I mean, all the things that you've seen played out in the last year, we wouldn't have $5 a gallon gasoline right now. I mean, so this is something that I'm really taking this message to the people of Georgia, and they're responding very positively to it.
Well, I think it's going to be a very important speech that you deliver on Saturday. And you know how this thing goes with the president. He's going to bring you back up there. It's going to be a lot of fun. But I think when people see you on the stage with the president, that's really going to define, hey, this is what is at stake here. And I think your numbers are just going to skyrocket after this rally on Saturday.
Well, we're in a good position right now. I trust the people of Georgia. And, you know, this is, like I said, a people versus politician race, but it's really more than that. It's about people who don't have a voice in their government. They're fed up with what's going on in the state. They're fed up with what's going on in Washington, and they're putting a lot of that responsibility at the feet of our governor, and correctly so. So the power elite, the people who are connected with the government, had really better sit up and listen, because the people are really upset right now about where we are in Georgia, not just on the election, but other things like Buckhead City's not being allowed a vote. People in Buckhead are not being allowed a vote on their own.
And Senator, let me jump in here on that one, because we've been covering that story nationally for a while. And I think people were genuinely stunned when they found out it wasn't the Democrats who stopped that. It was the Republicans in the state house who stopped Buckhead's annexation.
Oh, just today, the governor said, when he was asked about where he stands on the Buckhead vote, he says, well, on that issue, I'm going to keep my powder dry. Well, that's a career politician trying to get reelected in a primary. And I've come out right out of the gate and said, look, these people deserve a vote. If you're going to give 4 other areas of the state the right to have a vote on their own destiny, why in the world would you not allow Buckhead to do that? Well, the reason is very clear. The governor and the power downtown that's tied into the city of Atlanta and the big corporate entities downtown that are the big donors of the governor are all tied into that. They do not want Buckhead to separate. The crime in Atlanta is out of control, Todd. I mean, this is outrageous. Rapes are up this year dramatically. Murders are up dramatically. And, the defunding the police effort has been alive and well in Atlanta for some time now. We have a mayor who said when he voted a city council member to defund the police, and now he's the mayor of Atlanta. And nothing is getting any better here. So people are beginning to hold Governor Kemp responsible because he's not stepped out and made his position clear. And because of that, it killed the potential to have a vote about the Buckhead city issue.
And really, that Buckhead vote was probably more so about getting tough on crime and making sure that you have the police officers patrolling the streets, protecting the businesses. That area is very affluent. And you know what happens when crime starts to happen like that? People will begin to move out of the area, and that area will go into decline. So I'm glad to know that you're the tough on crime candidate running for the governor's office.
Well, we really are. You know, it's the corruption all the way around. We had a crime in the election in 2020. People broke the law, and nobody's being investigated or prosecuted. So I've called for an election law enforcement agency. Their sole job would be to enforce election laws and to hold people accountable. People should go to jail over this or what happened in 2020. I also want outside independent audits of any election that has to be certified. We never had that. And then lastly, I want to get rid of the vending machines here if I'm elected. And we're going to have to run a May election and a November election using them. But just like Virginia, if we get out and vote, we can overwhelm them and make sure that we all. That's exactly what happened in Virginia.
Yeah. All right, Senator, we're going to have to leave it there. By the way, you know Joe from LJ is going to be there.
I can't wait. I just talked to Joe this morning. Joe is outspoken, a big supporter, and I can't wait to see him in commerce.
You know, we got on to him, though. He calls in and says that we have the best radio program in America, but a couple of days later, I heard him on Hannity's show saying the exact same thing. So I said, Joe, you can't be cheating on me now. That's.
Hey, Todd, thank you for what you're doing. Welcome
Thanks, Senator.
To Georgia. See you Saturday.
All right, looking forward to it. Senator David Perdue, everybody, running for the governor's office in Georgia. And when you cut through, you got to cut through a lot of the stuff here and get down to the heart of it. This situation, the story out of Atlanta, Buckhead, which is a super wealthy area of the city. You have a massive, it was Lenox Square Mall, which is a high-end mall. You have another high, I think it's Phipps Plaza is the other one there. And they have just been ravaged by crime. And so you've got a lot of residents and a lot of city leaders, and they say, you know what, we don't have, you know, we're a part of the city of Atlanta, and yet all of our tax money is being used to patrol other parts of the city. So they're taking all of the super tax money that's being generated out of that very wealthy enclave, and they're using it in other parts of the city. And so the wealthy Buckhead area gets the short end of the stick. There's a similar situation developing in Memphis, Tennessee, where you have had middle-class suburban communities that have been annexed into the city of Memphis. And what happened? Well, all of a sudden, their tax money is being used to patrol streets on the other side of town, and they lose out on all of the other city services, whether it's garbage pickup or utilities or whatever. And so the people of Buckhead said, you know what, we want to become our own city. We don't want our tax dollars being used in other parts of the city. We want those tax dollars to be used here in our neighborhood. That's in our community. And I think that's a pretty reasonable request. And so they're having to go through the process, and this requires the vote of the state legislature. And it was the Republicans in the state house, the Republicans who stopped the de-annexation effort. Not the Democrats, it was the Republicans. So when you've got people like Brian Kemp out there, and I think we can all agree that that guy completely obliterated the 2020 elections and mishandled the elections. No doubt about it. But then when you've got Brian Kemp and he's got Chris Christie out there on the campaign trail for him, it's pretty obvious who I'd be voting for. Do you want? Donald Trump's endorsing David Perdue. Chris Christie likes Brian Kemp. Who do you like? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. I hope you're calling in on your Patriot Mobile wireless phone, because we love Patriot Mobile. America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. These folks are growing by leaps and bounds, and I would encourage you, switch to Patriot Mobile right now. And if for no other reason than this, first of all, you're going to get great coverage. I think it's better than AT&T. But even better than that, the money that they make, they actually use to support organizations that fight for causes we care about. In other words, if you switch to Patriot Mobile, they're not going to be using their money to support Planned Parenthood. That's not who they are. It's super easy. All you got to do is go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. You can check out all the prices and the plans they have. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Veterans, first responders, you guys are getting an additional discount. You can also give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Now listen up. They're going to ask for a promo code, and that's my first name, Todd, T-O-D-D. Use that promo code. You're going to get hooked up with some great discounts. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Going to be a lot of fun tonight. You know, I'm one of these weird guys that Grace Baker that loves different styles of music.
You are a Renaissance man.
No, I'm just kind of eclectic in my musicals. I love Southern rock, so a big fan of that. Allman Brothers. I mean, like a little bit of Doobie Brothers.
Allman Brothers, like the like Allman Nuts.
Grace, go stand in the corner. That is just reprehensible.
I do know the Doobie Brothers. Love the Doobie
and
Brothers.
And the Almonds. You got Lynyrd Skynyrd. Love that. I'm a big country music fan.
See, that's where I don't go into the country
but
music.
I like a little bit. You know, like, I like a little Timberlake every now and again. There's
Justin
a good
Timberlake?
Justin Timberlake
oh, yeah.
song.
Of course.
But anyway, Southern Gospel, though, grew up, you know, those Sunday singings with all the great hymns.
Yes.
Back before they were playing the God Is My Girlfriend music.
You mean the Justin Bieber music?
Yeah. I mean, seriously.
Hey, it's hard to tell nowadays.
It is. I remember years ago interviewing a young, up-and-coming group in the contemporary Christian world. And they were talking about their music. And they said, you know, it's really, they were really Valley Girl-ish.
Mm.
And they're like it's really cool. Like our music, you could be singing it to God or your girlfriend. You know, it's just like one of those kinds of things. And when you think about it, I'm thinking, wow, I was going back and look at their lyrics, and yeah, I, there you go.
Fair enough.
As we have this conversation in our beautiful Liberty University studios. All that to say, I love the old school. I mean, I love all sorts of music, Christian rock, whatever. But I'm a big fan of Southern gospel music. And we're going to have a huge group gathering tonight, a massive choir, Gerald Wolf's Hymn Sing, and a lot of the popular Southern Gospel groups are coming. Here's the deal. We've got a pair of tickets, and I forgot to give out a trivia question. So if you were in the Mid-South, all right, and you're the first caller that Grace picks up on, we're gonna give you the tickets, but you'll need to come by and pick them up in the lobby. So we're going to be set up there. You'll be able to meet Grace, our team. I'll be there. And just swing by and you'll be able to pick them up. So first caller, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. And we'll give you a pair of tickets to tonight's big concert here in Memphis. I got to tell you this story. A guy named Floyd Duvall from Hendersonville, Tennessee, served in the Marine Corps for about 20 years. He was also very active in the Boy Scouts. Floyd died last year. He was 82 years old. But during his life, he flew a couple of flags outside of his home, had big flagpoles in the front yard, had a Marine Corps flag, and he had the American flag. Well, his widow was just unable to take care of that American flag. And so we've had some really bad, severe storms over the past couple of weeks here in this part of the country. And the flags got tattered. The American flag got tattered and torn. So on Saturday, his widow heard the doorbell ring at the front door, two Boy Scouts, and they gave Mrs. Duvall a brand new American flag along with a handwritten note thanking the Duvall family for what they had done for America. So whenever they tell you our country is divided, I want you to think about those two young Boy Scouts here in Hendersonville, Tennessee. Great kids. Unbelievable. Troop 95, Be Good America.